Welcome to the Artie's Attic Warehouse 13 Fancast, where a steampunk girl, a lifelong sci-fi fan, and a rocket scientist chat about the popular 2009 sci-fi series. There's never a dull moment with the agents dedicated to protect humankind from unexplained phenomena that manifest their powers in special objects. And there's all those friendships and relationships along the way. Grab a cookie while you can. Hope you don't smell fudge. Gear up with your Farnsworth Tesla and neutralizer, and let's have some fun by snagging it, bagging it, and tagging it. Welcome back to Artie's Attic. We're a Warehouse 13 fan cast. I'm the Warehouse 13 janitor, currently deconflicting ancient Greek incestuous love triangles. Something I never thought would be part of a janitor's job description. And cleaning up thousands of lightning strike scars. My name is SP.
Yep. Yeah, that's you gotta watch it with those freaking gods. They just
don't want to piss her off.
So full of themselves.
Very incestuous. Okay. And introducing Artie's Attic lead agent and historian who is figuring out her new home inside of a magic eight ball. It's Agent Shannon.
What's up, guys? I like that one. Much easier to say. You had a mouthful in yours.
I did. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's the statues that are going after each other. The warehouse itself has lightning everywhere. I mean, but you got the magic eight ball. That's all you got. Just a big eight ball. All right. And joining us is the warehouse agent who decided she's going to grow her hair long to be more like her new favorite evil FBI agent friend. It's Agent Carol.
Maybe. Well, I mean, she is pretty cool, but so much work.
We are continuing our Warehouse 13 series discussion with the episode that premiered on July 11th, 2011, 4 years before one of sci-fi's last good series premiered with Killjoys. I'm referring to the Warehouse 13 season 3 premiere, Good Guy.
What year? 2011?
2011, four years before Killjoys. Yep.
Oh, I like that show.
And the IMDb description reads, a rock legend's guitar becomes a menace in Jersey City, New Jersey. And Artie and Claudia run into an ATF agent who has a knack for knowing when people lie. Shannon, I mean, as far as seasons go, you don't like season 3 at all.
Dude, you know me better. This is my favorite. This is my favorite. And I love the start of this. There's a lot going on. I don't even know where to start with this episode. I mean, I feel like I could scatter and jump everywhere. I like that.
Don't we usually?
That's my normal. Okay. Just making sure I was clear to do my normal. I love how resistant Pete is. Right? He doesn't want a new partner. He's feeling pressured. Everyone's like, suck it up. You got to get one. You know, we got a job to do. Right? You're seeing Claudia and Artie go out more with him. And I love the scene where Claudia is playing Jimi Hendrix guitar. Because in real life, Allison plays guitar.
Yep.
So I bet you she loved that working on that scene. But I think Jinx is a great addition to the team. He fits right in. He doesn't take anything. He's not offended by anything that Pete's saying. He gets along with everyone. And even when he meets Micah, he's like, oh, well, you know, if it makes you feel better, he's lying. So he knows his place and he's not freaked out about it. Yeah, he jumped right into it. So there's so much
he's just starting to get Pete's jokes.
Yeah. And so, I mean, by the time you get halfway through the episode, you know, he's like, haha, high fiving him, right? So, and of course, Sally is the one that's making them come together. I like Pete's like, no charge.
Right? No charge, ladies. No charge.
I like the fact that here we are again going into history because I like Greek mythology. And if you weren't aware that that's what they were doing. They did a pretty good job of explaining it. Well, Micah did a pretty good job of explaining it. And right off the bat, you know, Jinx died, and he would have died in this episode without Micah.
Congratulations, like, you're congratulations. Now an official warehouse agent. You've been tried to kill by an artifact.
I just think bringing him on, wasn't he doing at the same time, wasn't he doing Killjoys?
No.
Well, this was before.
Yes.
Is that his brother? Or was this him?
No, this was him.
Okay.
So, Aaron Ashmore plays Steve Jinx. He has 82 acting credits since 1991, and this is just a few that I picked out. One episode of La Femme Nikita. In 2004, he starred in My Brother's Keeper. He was in two episodes of The West Wing, five episodes of Veronica Mars, one episode of Fringe, and here it is, 53 episodes of Smallville as Jimmy Olsen.
Never watched Smallville.
I never watched Smallville a lot. I couldn't tell you. I know that Christina Klunk, or whatever her name was, she was in it.
Okay, well, let's just move on since you didn't watch Smallville. I thought that would get a little bit more.
Sorry to everybody who watched Smallville.
Okay. Five episodes of Lost Girl. Six episodes.
I did watch Lost Girl.
I know you did. I
remember him in that.
Well, it's just Cat five Burrell episodes.
Was in Lost Girl too. She died pretty quickly.
Cat was also in a Hallmark movie that we all watched in the last week.
Yes.
That
I finally got to watch it. She was so cute in it. Yep.
She was.
And she was dating Claudia's brother.
Yeah, oh, yeah, she was dating Claudia's brother.
But her real life husband, isn't it?
Oh, he is?
The short little guy that's the host for the show.
Oh, I didn't know that was
her real life husband, really?
That's her husband. Reminds me of Billy Joel.
A little bit.
I could see that.
I didn't realize how tall Kat was.
I think she's 5'11".
I mean, the girls were saying, he's wearing flats. I was like, yeah. Or she's wearing flats, excuse me. We're like,
I think she's almost 6 feet. I think I remember, I could be wrong, off by a couple inches, but I know I think she's taller than Sean. And I think that's because, I learned that back when she was doing Still Wind Down to Herb, but.
Sean ain't that tall. You're talking about your husband, right?
He's 5'10".
Yeah, he's not that tall.
Well, she's taller than him, so.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
She's definitely taller than her real husband, though.
Six episodes of In Plain Sight. We're back to Aaron Ashmore here. 35 episodes of Warehouse 13. I think we have him basically for the rest of the series.
He's the best addition.
Four episodes of Designated Survivor, and of course, 50 episodes of Killjoys.
I love that show. I was so sad when they took it off. It and Dark Matter.
I was more of a Dark Matter fan than Killjoys.
I never watched a whole lot of Killjoys, but I think I was watching something else at the time. I can't remember.
You were probably watching Dark Matter.
No, was Defiance running at the same time?
No.
No, I think Defiance had died by then.
Defiance did die pretty quickly.
I know you were watching Dark Matter.
I know. I watched Dark Matter, yes.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, the show was really good, but I got a lot of interaction with the cast, too, with Killjoys. Especially the gal that was the voice of Lucy, the ship.
Oh, yeah.
Still follows me on Twitter.
Oh, no. That's Killjoy. Never mind.
That's Dark Matter.
No, Tamsin McDonough? Is that how you say her last name?
I can never pronounce her name, so I feel bad every time. But she is super sweet and so nice. And I actually have my brother gave me a 3D model that he had printed of the Killjoys ship. Yeah,
I think Lucy. The ship is called Lucy, isn't it?
It is. She's called Lucy, yes.
Yeah. Well, there's also Hannah in there. Hannah John Kamen.
Yes. She's the main actress.
Yeah.
And the other Hallmark guy.
She's pretty cool. But I know you were watching Dark Matter because you often talk about, what is it, two?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Melissa O'Neill. Yeah, she's on the list. She's on the list. She was the addition that we added to it because Carolyn, like, don't you remember Mike? Oh, yeah, I remember two boxes.
Yeah, I sent you the GIF and you're like, oh, yeah, I got her. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know who's somebody on my list?
Who?
Ashley Williams.
She's the FBI agent.
She's Sally.
Sally?
Yeah.
The She's FBI agent in this episode?
81 acting credits since 1993, 6 episodes of E-Ring, 1 episode of Psych, 5 episodes of Saving Grace, 4 episodes of Warehouse 13, so we'll see her a few more episodes, 1 episode of The Mentalist, 2 episodes of Royal Pains, 16 episodes of How I Met Your Mother. She was a star on that, Victoria. Mm-hmm. She was one of the girlfriends. 23 episodes of The Jim Gaffigan Show, and then a bunch of other stuff that we've all seen, but I'll just roll off a few. 2017, she starred in Christmas in Evergreen. 2018, she starred in Christmas in Evergreen, Letters to Santa. 2018, she was also starring in Northern Lights of Christmas. 2019, Christmas in Evergreen, Tidings of Joy. And 2020, Christmas in Evergreen, Bells Are Ringing.
So I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah.
She's in Hallmark shows.
Hallmark, yeah.
So how'd she become Sally?
She was the FBI agent that was tossing Pete and...
She went from the Hallmark to... She is not good in here. She's not good in Warehouse 13.
Oh, no. She went from this, a bad person, into Hallmark being the good person. Yeah.
Yeah, she can flip around. She plays a really good, nice person, I think. And correct me if I'm wrong, Carolyn, because you watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. I think she would have made a great Mockingbird.
Ooh. Yeah,
I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a couple seasons.
Yeah, well, Mockingbird, I like the Mockingbird that we had. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Most but definitely.
I could see Ashley, especially after watching her in this episode, I could see her as Mockingbird. Now, she probably doesn't have the physical coordination and stunt work in order to be able to do it, but the acting chops are there. Yeah. So, I mean, I like her in Hallmark. She hasn't done one in the last couple of years, so I don't know if she's coming back or not.
They have to think of another good Evergreen story.
But she is definitely on my list. The same. So is Rachel Nichols over on Continuum. She's on my list.
Is she on list? She should be on
list. She's on your list.
Yes.
Yeah, she's but she's on, the, on your B team. She's not on your A
team. Okay. That's okay. I can squeeze her.
I can squeeze her in.
And as long as we're talking guest stars, we're going to have to talk about the man in the shadow, which we find out is Anthony Michael Hall.
I was about to say, I was when The Shadow came out last night, I was reminding, I remember that earlier this week, there was a thing on Twitter, or maybe it was TikTok, I can't remember, but it's the 30th some odd anniversary of that movie.
Crap. Okay. 100 acting credits since 1979, which is almost before you ladies were born, right? We won't start there. We will start in 1983. He was Rusty in National Lampoon's Vacation.
Mm-hmm, he was the brother. Nuh-uh.
Okay. Yep, 1984, 16 Candles.
Mm. Yep, he did a lot of stuff with Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, 1985, The Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club, that's the one I was thinking of.
1985, also Weird Science.
Oh, that was a good movie. That one.
Mm-hmm. And then... He starts jumping around a little bit. In 1990, I mean, he's done 100 credits, so I'm selecting stuff. But in 1990, he was in Edward Scissorhands.
Really? Oh, my goodness. I haven't thought about that movie.
I haven't seen that one in forever. I don't remember.
Yeah, I haven't seen it forever either. I remember, I mean, Johnny Depp was in it. It was just weird to me, but it's a Hallmark movie. So not Hallmark, but it's...
No, it's Tim Burton movie, isn't it?
Right. But it was a Stallworth movie, basically. I mean, everybody knows about it. In 1999, he played Bill Gates in The Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Mm, I kind of remember that.
He's been in a bunch of TV stuff. I limited it to the stuff that might be of interest to us. So 81 episodes of The Dead Zone. It was one of his more prolific TV shows.
Didn't watch that one.
2 episodes of Community. 5 episodes of Warehouse 13, including this one. So we'll see him 4 more times. 1 episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2 episodes of The Blacklist. 9 episodes of The Goldbergs. And in 2024, I think this movie's already out, he played in Air Force One Down.
I don't remember that movie.
No, I don't either. I Just saying, he's Air Force One down is in 2024 and he's in it. So there you go.
At some point, that movie is out. Yeah.
Anthony Michael Hall. For those of us of our age, we know him very well. So when he showed up in Warehouse 13, I remember the geekdom community lost its crap.
He plays a pretty good bad guy, though. I mean, in all those things, all those movies you mentioned, I mean, The Breakfast Club is big, Weird Science is big. I mean, all those other things I've seen him in, but those are the two that I think stand out for me in the 80s. But the first time around, and I mean like the first time around, I was surprised that he was in it, but he does really good bad guy.
He does really do a really good bad guy. He was also really good in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. He was making the rounds back then.
Yeah, so it's fun to watch the beginning of this where we get introduced to Jinx, and he's like, no, that guy's lying. Well, I know that you have this like special gift. He's like, really, dude, it's not that special. Have you ever been on a date? I mean, how awkward would that be? Somebody was like, man, you're just the best guy. And he's like, that's a lie. You know, sometimes you wonder if he can't stop himself, like just looking at you going, dude, you're lying. Or if he stops himself and just goes, I'm coming back on that later. I know he's lying, but I'm not going to call him out on it right now.
I loved Pete working with Jinx and then starting to bond to bring him into the warehouse. Because, you know, it's like, you've just killed my dog and now you brought me the new puppy. I don't want to bond with the new puppy.
You're shoving a puppy down my lot. Yeah. You're shoving a puppy down my throat. Yeah.
And of course, he was kind of I don't know where he wasn't helpful with them at all. He was like, not even showing him ropes. And then finally he's like, you know, just chill. Things are going to happen. Right. And I think that's the moment that he realized that he's going to have to help this guy. Right. Because Jinx is like, I don't know what you're talking about. What's going on? What's going on? Right. So I think that moment when he was talking about Abraham Lincoln's hat, he's like, don't think that didn't get me in trouble with Mrs. Frederick. I'm like, that is a great
Mrs. Frederick.
Uncontrollable urge to free Mrs. Frederick. Don't there think that did get me in trouble. That's a great line. It's a great moment. And all this time, he's trying to figure out if he's joking or if he's serious. But it's because they didn't really do well in explaining to him what he was walking into. I like that shot where Artie's like, "Welcome to the warehouse," and the camera goes out and comes right back in immediately.
Yeah, like okay, we've got work to do.
That's all you get.
I loved at the end where Pete's like, the only way you leave the warehouse is feet first. And then Jinx starts laughing, right? And then Pete looks back at him because I don't know for sure, but I think Jinx has to look you in the eye to tell if you're lying or not.
He has to look you in the eye.
Pete turns his head around and then Jinx is like, oh.
Oh, you're serious.
So what was cool in this episode for those, I can't imagine those listening to us have not watched it, but for those who might not have watched it, we get Micah back into this episode. So technically she wasn't really gone for more than an episode because we got the Christmas and she was in it. And we talked about that last time. Oh, they moved right along, but she's not really ready to join or come back. She still feels guilty and to blame and is embarrassed, but I think she's embarrassed to come back because of of what she thought. She believed in HG. It was her judgment that didn't want her to get bronze, that wanted Artie to trust her. Everyone had their issues. Everyone had the red flags, but she ignored all of them because she has feelings for her. So they just happened to be going to Denver, and that's where her father's bookstore is. And, you know, I like how Pete's hurt by what she did to him. And he comes in and he needs her help. But then he's like, okay, thanks. Well, you know, you're not involved anymore. We got what we need and see you around. Yeah. And I think that hurt her. You can see it in her eyes that she was hurt. But she deserved it because she just up and left him without even giving him any kind of warning. So, and you might have thought that was going to be the end of it, but then her curiosity got the best of her, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, she is the one that knows about the folio because it's Micah, and she works in the bookstore. So, really, she came in best timing to save Jinx's life.
like Pete said, why don't you just call it a book? Because it's not a book, it's a folio.
What's a folio? It's like a book.
It's like a book.
Dialogue in this episode was just insanely good. I rewatched it like 4 times. I was like, where is my favorite spot in here? And it's difficult to pick it.
It's everywhere.
Because the whole episode really is so good. And I was like, wow, who put this together? First of all, the acting, the actual crew, the cast is amazing in this. Mm-hmm. Lena is still kind of second fiddle for the whole thing, but everybody else is just on par. Ashley is great. Anthony Michael Hall in his one scene that you don't know it's him. But when you listen to it, you're like, oh, that's Anthony. He was great. It was written by Jack Kenney, who's the showrunner. He's got some history in writing, but it was also directed, and we've talked about him before, Steven Sergic. And this is his 5th of 6 episodes of Warehouse 13. He'll do episode 12, Stan, which I believe is the episode that is the season finale for season 3.
You're talking about Anthony Michael Hall?
No, Steven Sergic is the director. And we see him one more time. We don't see him, but he directs one more time. And then we don't get him again. But between the award-winning direction and for, if you don't remember, Shannon, Steven Sergic is a award-winning director. And then the writing of Jack Kenney, who knows this series backwards and forwards and has probably been spending the entire offseason writing this script. He has put this together, and the cast just comes in. And since most of them have worked together, they're just amazing at hitting it. And then Ashmore, Aaron Ashmore, he's been Jimmy Olsen on a Superman show, right? So he's coming in, being able to integrate himself into everything. And it's just a crew that knows how to work, and they come together. And this episode is so insanely good. And it comes out in the dialogue, if nothing else. I mean, every single scene is amazing, but the dialogue is just amazing. Matter of fact, there's one scene in there. I believe it is in the where they're talking about the actor that had been killed, and they were talking about doing improv or going off script or whatever.
I'm
wondering if that was like a dig back at Jack Kenney, or maybe he put that in there to say, hey, I know you guys are going to go off script or something like that. Yeah. So the whole thing was really cool.
I can't imagine Eddie staying on script all the time.
Oh, no, I can't imagine. I mean, I imagine he's probably got all kinds of one-liners that he tried out and see if they worked or something.
I know he's the joker. I know he's the prankster. I remember at the con that I saw him at, I think it was 2019, where him and Allison and Jamie and Saul were all there, everyone but Joanne. And he was talking about how he would put like mayonnaise or something on the inside of the door handle. So Jamie got an over hand when she tried to open it. Or he'd put saran wrap down over the toilet so when you went to pee, it'd splash you. No. I mean, he did all these kind of things. Or he would, like, when, like, the first scene that him and Jamie had was when they were in the H.G. Wells house and, she, you know, they kissed against the wall. And she's like, yeah, you must have had a whole bag of Cheetos before you kissed me. And then he burped in next to my mouth. I'm like, my God. So, yeah. That's Eddie. But I mean, he's a prankster. You need a prankster on the set, right? So
yeah, it's definitely Eddie. Yeah.
I think you'll find when you go through this season in particular, the way that this team comes together, and you're going to have, as Claudia likes to say, before we ain't the B team, we the second A team, right?
Yeah.
Claudia and Jinx become best friends and partners. And they play so amazingly well off of each other.
They do.
He has fast one-liners and he has fast one-liners. And it's just like having a marriage happen in front of you. It's great. They play well off each other.
Let's talk about Claudia a little bit, right? Because she was just amazing in this episode on her own. She was, you know, making stuff. She did the Tesla grenade. She was driving the forklift. She fixed the periscope. She fixed the communication. I forget what that's called.
Tube.
The pneumatic tube. So she did all that. And then she's the one who greets Jinx outside the warehouse and then brings him in. She starts by just complimenting his car. Oh, you sprang for the solar roof nav package, I see. Schmancy. It's got JBL, 4CD, changer, an XM radio, cruise control, Bluetooth, intelligent parking assistant, and an iPod interface. And I'm thinking, oh my God, that is so 2011.
Right? Date of the show that totally made somebody's fancy.
I think what works from her, she speaks such, it's almost like monotone and fast and low, and it, just the one-liners just like flow from her. It's great. Mm-hmm. But even when you listen to her, I don't know if y'all have seen any current pictures. Have you seen current pictures of her?
Yeah,
you sound like, oh, she's so
you've
pretty.
Shared them.
She's so pretty.
And his jaw fell on the floor. Yes.
Yeah.
She would be great, I think, working with Felicia Day. I think they're on two different levels, but I think the two of them would be great together. I don't think they've ever worked together, but I would love to see them together. And then she brings Jinx into the warehouse, and she's just telling him everything about the warehouse as they're going.
She does the whole thing that Artie did when, you know, the other two came in when Pete and Micah started. She has his speech down. Don't hit the bombs. And he's like, wait, bombs? What?
Yeah. Or Artie said the same thing.
New guy gets to fix the fish. And then she's like, wait. No, he's the new guy. He gets to stay in the warehouse. I get to go out in the field. I'm the field person now.
Okay, think
about
this.
And Artie's like, no, that's not how this works.
All these agents have been trained. They're trained to do field work, right? Claudia is not trained. She's great at what she does, but she is not a trained field agent. And that makes me worried a little bit. Yeah, you can learn on the job over the course of a long time. But these are people that have gone into some sort of academy. They've gone into some sort of actual law enforcement.
But she's like,
training.
But I've been out
here's
there.
The thing.
I'd be a much better person for Pete. And Pete's like, yes.
Here's the thing, though. Even though she hasn't gone through those academies, she hasn't got those degrees or those fields, or whatever, the warehouse picks its people.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, like I've said before, the things that she tinkers with in the warehouse that Artie's like, well, you can't do that. It breaks. It breaks when I touch it. She's like, I've already fixed it. Right?
Yeah, like the periscope.
I think the warehouse allows her to fix it. I think the warehouse helps her and guides her in that direction. Whereas Artie, who has worked there for the majority of his adult life, he doesn't have that connection with the warehouse. But the warehouse, I think, talks to Claudia. She just doesn't know it.
Did you guys catch the dialogue when she's walking in with Lena, where she's talking about the color of her aura changing?
Yeah, but why has my aura changed? Yeah. She's like, but why has my aura changed?
Because the warehouse. So she is going to be a field agent, and she doesn't have the same kind of training, but she understands this stuff. She picked it up so quickly, and she has a connection, and she just doesn't see it or know what's happening yet, but the warehouse does, because the warehouse is organic. It is another character of the show. So there is a scene at the end of the series. I think it's the end of the series. Might be. Anyways, they're always talking about apples, or do you smell apples? Do you remember in this season, we're going to get to a part where HG smells apples, right? Smelling apples is a sign that the warehouse approves of you, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't get approved, then you get the fudge thing and something's wrong with you, right?
But there's a scene
at the end of the series where Artie gets an apple out of nowhere, rolled down one of the aisles. But HG, who has done horrific things so far, she gets redeemed and she gets to smell apples again. So, I mean, the warehouse is organic. So I think, in my personal opinion, I think the warehouse is guiding Claudia and allowing her to tinker with these things that could have been catastrophic and she broke and it messed up with the warehouse. But it's guiding her, I think. And I think Mrs. Frederick allows her to go out and do the things that she does because she is connected to the warehouse, and the warehouse is telling her, Claudia's next.
Yeah, I like the part where, you know, they're looking at down the telescope because they're paired the periscope because there's big lightning bolts happening and it's near the pyramid and everybody else is panicking. And Jinx is like, wait, let me look at there's a pyramid in this warehouse. There's a real pyramid. And Pete's like, yeah. And if we win $25,000.
See, again, there's so many great one-liners. I can't even. Oh, I mean, I only watched so many. It one time around this time. I only watched it once, but because we were about to lose power in the house because we've had panels put on all day long. You know, so I think it's a great start to a new season. I think it's great to have a new character add to it because sometimes on shows when you get those new characters added, it doesn't mesh well, right? But Jinx already in the first episode fit right in. I love the scene where right after Micah comes into the hotel lobby and she makes him read all the stuff and she saves him. And Pete's still hurt and he's like, well, you know, I'm sorry, you're not here.
And they're bickering back and forth.
And he's like, can we just focus? I'm okay with her being here. And he's like, he does his, right?
So yeah, because he's Buddhist.
Already, it takes a lot of, like, if you were a brand new employee anywhere, would you feel comfortable jumping in the middle of two employees that are arguing? Probably not, but already he feels comfortable.
Can we just focus? She saved my life.
And then he says, get rid of your sexual attention.
Yep.
I think that was Jack's intentional line there because he knew what was going on behind the scenes with Micah and HG, right? With Jamie and Joanne. And so he was intentionally throwing that line in.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help him. Because in this season, this is the season I've been waiting to get to, and we don't see a whole lot of it here. But we do get a scene with Micah and HG again.
At the end.
And I think the coolest way that they did the writing on what they've done to HG, I think it's brilliant. And I'll keep that for when we see it. But she gets to see her and she's telling her, don't let your fear get in the way of you. You need to go back and I'm sorry for what I've done and what it's caused you to do, for you to leave the warehouse. Yeah. Don't turn away from your truth. Yeah. And I think that right there is what brought her back to the warehouse. She did love it. She loves her job. She just felt guilty for believing in something that she went out on a limb, and which is so unlike her. But, you know, that happens when you're in love with people.
Yeah, at the end when she's standing there and she's coming back and she gets this great big hug from Claudia and Lena, like, yeah, you're back. And Artie comes in and all he says is, good. Good.
But even now, I mean, you could tell that Micah was afraid that
Artie wouldn't take her back.
But everyone, and then he's like jumping right into, okay, we got a ping. And they're like, yeah, let's go. Right. So there was no welcome back hugs from Artie. It was just, great, you're here. Let's get a job.
It was just good. This is good. This is good.
Because he didn't want to be an impediment to her. She had so much built up about coming back and being part of the warehouse. He fully knew what was going on. He didn't want to rehash all that.
Yeah.
She's back. Let's go. And she doesn't need anything from him. She just needs to do the job at this point.
Yeah. I think one of my several of my favorite parts, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of funny, great parts. But at the beginning, when they're battling the guitar that has been strung, so now it needs to be quieted and is shooting out lightning bolts everywhere. And Jinx is in there and he's, after she's tossed the Tesla grenade, he's like, Artie, you think this is going to work? I'm sure it's going to work. She's made this Tesla grenade. And then they get, you know, at gunpoint from Jinx, and they come up with the same excuses that they normally do. I'm a government agent. I'm going to, he's like, lie.
Lie.
Then Artie comes up with something. He's like, lie. And then he comes out with, oh my God, are you going to tell me the truth? And so Artie says the exact truth that he's like, all right, I'm going to tell him the truth because he ain't never going to believe this. And he's like, oh, okay, well, get to it. And Artie's just like, wait, you believe that?
I do like at the end of that scene where the woman that they saved is,
oh my God, that was funny.
Very cold. Very
She's
cold.
Very cold. Very
unlike Pete.
And Pete and even Artie's like, even I miss the boob jokes. Like, Pete, she was very appreciative. He's like, what? I was just doing my job. She was very cold.
She was.
He's like, what? I gave her my jacket.
I think in the actual, the aired version, there's a little bit more footage of her. You do see a brief moment of her front and you're like, oh, okay. I know what they're talking about, but I think in the actual first aired, there's a little bit more footage of her to bring that out. But let's talk about the artifacts, the endless wonder, right? Because there was at least eight of them.
I'm still getting it. I'm getting a tattoo of that. That's right here. That's what this arm is saved for. Warehouse 13. I haven't figured out what I want, but endless wonder.
Okay. Okay. And yeah, endless wonder. That's what we'll call the artifacts from now on. So you have the lost folio from Walter Shakespeare.
Walter. Yeah.
Nice there. Yeah.
You had the statues of Zeus and Hera. You had the holographic projection sphere, which we're just going to call the magic eight ball. You had Jimi Hendrix guitar with the tremolo bar, which I don't play guitar, so I hope I said that correctly. You had the drum kit, which was from Hendrix's guitars as well. It was mentioned in the episode's Behind the Scenes podcast. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. The Tesla grenade, you talked about that. We just talked about the ice pressure nozzle and the pneumatic tube and capsule.
Yeah, the pressure nozzle. I was like, what was, is it just so that it made it colder when it came, when water came out?
Yeah, so when the water came out, because when it came out, it was putting ice all over. That's what made the girl cold. Yeah, okay. I don't think the Tesla grenade was an artifact. I think this is something that Claudia built.
Okay,
that was something that Claudia made.
Because remember, Artie was like, are you sure? Are you sure this is going to work?
Are you sure this is going to work?
Yeah, I got this, right? Again, it's something that the warehouse is letting her tinker with.
We also see the scarab, which has been credits. It
buried into the floor. And then all you see is go, Artie?
Which I think
you never know what happens.
Running this season, you'll see it in the season opener.
It's been in the season opener since the beginning. Yeah,
since they've changed the season opener. It was a lot shorter. They don't have the pictures of everybody when they went through. So they just have their names running as the show starts now.
Yeah, I kind of missed the opening of second season.
Other things that were mentioned were Man Ray's camera, the thing that makes you old, right? The spline of the saccharin that was the thing that latches onto your spine. Yeah. The Minotan trident, that was the thing out in
Jamie's
the
thing, yep.
Yeah. And then if you didn't catch it, Pete and Jinx were talking about the carpet. So he's like, yeah, I thought you could just get on it and fly away. So they were definitely talking about the carpet. Yeah.
I didn't catch that one, but clearly he's telling them about what the job is.
That was at the end. But yeah, but then they also had when they were checking out the first Viper kill after the first parchment, whatever we're calling the pieces from the folio.
Yeah, the folio. Yeah.
Killed the first lady. He mentioned Charles Dickens badminton. Holy crap. Charles Dickens badminton racket, which made you feel like, which made you believe, which made you believe you're an orphan. Gandhi sandals, which can calm you down so much your heart will stop.
Was it his sandals or a blanket?
No, it was his sandals.
Yeah, sandals.
Mm-hmm.
Because he walked.
And then my favorite, Abe Lincoln's hat, which when Pete put it on his head, it gave him a very strong urge to free Mrs. Frederick.
That was a great line.
That was close. That scene where they were going back and forth there in that kitchen there as they went to the first victim, that was close to my favorite scene. My favorite scene is actually the end fight, though, where Pete, has his shirt that is, ripped open and he says, no charge, ladies.
No charge, ladies.
Yeah, that was good. And you can clearly see he's been working out.
Did we notice Pete's new hairstyle?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what it's I said at the very beginning. That Carolyn was growing her hair out because she was trying to be like her new evil FBI agent.
Don't be like Sally. Sally.
No.
I think this is the start of a great season. This is my favorite season. Season 3 is my favorite. Michael was it Anthony Michael Hall? Yeah, Anthony Michael Hall. He's in here, I think, at least three more times. Four.
There are four lights.
Nice.
There are four lights.
What's the second to last episode he's in?
Hold on, I got this.
Embarrassingly enough, forgot the name of it.
The second to last episode that he's in?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I didn't write down the dang episodes, but I've got the link to his IMDb, so we could quickly scroll down to his Warehouse 13 and five episodes. It's Emily Lake.
Emily Lake. Okay. Yeah. Emily Lake, and then the next episode is
Stand.
Those are my two favorites.
Oh, he's also in A New Hope, which is the premiere of season 4. Yeah, I know. It's a season 4. Yeah, I know. At least it's not season 5.
Emily Lake and Stan are my favorite episodes, I think, out of the whole series regarding to Bering and Wells. But this entire season, the connection between Jinx and Claudia is you finally get to see Claudia coming into her own as an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that she does for him, where she gets so close to him, the things that she's willing to do for him is pretty. I think, in a way, maybe she thinks of him as her, like a brother, like
Josh. Oh, definitely.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and again, I've always talked about the bond that they had. They're more than just colleagues, because even a CIA agent, they don't have this kind of closeness like you get when you work here with these people. Mm-hmm. And they treat each other like family, and they all go back to Lena's, and they have rooms, and they have dinner together. So, I mean, it's a family atmosphere, but she definitely gets attached to Jinx, and vice versa. So, I just think it's a cool season, and I can't wait till we watch all of it. But then again, when we get to all of it, it means we're getting close to the end of it. And then we got to pick another show to do.
True. Yeah,
we'll get there.
We did have some other good, well, as far as food goes, I did see that Pete made Artie made cookies for Jinx, just like he made it for Pete and Micah. And Jinx did have a cookie. Pete did not. But Pete did eat an apple out of the lady's fridge. Yep. He just eats people's food out of their house. Well, she's not going to eat it. She's dead.
She's dead. It's all going to get thrown out.
That was the only food that I saw. But the other one where Pete was talking to Artie and they're in the car and he says, okay, well, Kirk out. Oh, and Spock too. And Jinx is over there and he's giving the symbol of
the Spock sign. Yeah. Spock. See, already they were
live long and
right?
prosper. I was like, oh, that's funny. Or when they're in the bookstore and Pete's like, old Micah, meet new Micah. New Micah, this is old Micah.
Oh, he's talked about me? Well, no, but we need your help.
No, not really that much, yeah. But
I debated on what my favorite episode was, because this was close, but I still think when you're talking about the world building around the warehouse itself, I think the season 2 premiere and the season 1 finale, Time Will Tell and McPherson, outdo this. So this is my third favorite, just because there's not world building. Basically, you're getting a new character and you're starting a new storyline. And the episode was bang on, the dialogue, the story was all great, but it wasn't world building as well.
Well, no, but it's just, like you said, it's just introducing a character. So you got to go slow. The first three, four episodes. Yeah, you're not going to like first season of Warehouse 13 because Micah is very stuck up and bitchy. And you're like, well, this is not going to be a series that I like to watch, but you got to get past that. And then you got to start to see them coming into their own as partners and trusting each other. Jinx already got in really quick with Pete. They already trust him, I think. And already the three of them, him, Pete, and Micah, working the hotel thing where they were having. Already, he's already in with them. So I think the bonding is going to happen quicker.
Oh, it's already happened. You know, I was trying to compare and contrast this to the start of season 8 of SG-1, by the way.
SG-1.
I remember that starting a little bit slower. Like, the team didn't come together, in my memory, all just right away in episode 1.
No one trusted Daniel Jackson. They didn't want, you know, Amanda had to talk about her reproductive organs in one of the episodes. And, you know, I'm just as good. You know, she was...
No, I'm talking about season 8. So,
oh, those two. Oh,
yeah. Ben Browder comes in and they redo the team and everything. I don't remember the team coalescing right there at season 8 premiere. I think it took 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah, I think so. I'd have to rewatch it. I haven't watched that in a while.
Right.
But
it's a good series.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, there, if you remember when Jinx was first going into the warehouses on his first day, and he goes in and he meets Artie. Oh, you're the guy with the eyebrows. Artie's eyebrows are very memorable, apparently.
They're brought up a lot. Yep.
They are brought up a lot.
All right. You guys got anything else you want to say about this episode? Maybe the bird of Avon?
Yeah, the bird. Yeah. And Micah's look at him just... Bard of Avon.
Well, I always know you know how you'd like to correct me.
If I left the warehouse and you had questions about football or porn, I'd be available for you.
I'd totally help you out. Or their solution to stop the lightning in the warehouse. Artie and Micah drop off Zeus's statue at, well, I don't remember what it was. Artie, it was like a greenhouse.
It's the Unaville.
Artie and Claudia. Sorry. Artie and Claudia. It was what?
The Unaville Conservatory.
Yes. Well, his statue is now there. And Claudia's turning it on. And Pete's like, darn it. Artie is like, well, hurry up.
He's staring at me.
I know. She says, do you think griping at me will make me move faster? He says, well, we're out in the real world and I don't like the way these plants are looking at me.
Yeah, he's been at the warehouse too long.
Yeah, but he's got Vanessa now.
It's true.
Drag him out every once in a while, right?
That's true.
But see, and again, you know, like, that's something Michaela would probably say to Sean. Do you think this is going to make me go faster? You know? Yeah. She says, chill, man, chill, I got this, you know. Or what's the tea? I think the relationship over the season, past two seasons that we've had, clearly you could see more and more that Claudia and Artie are like the father and daughter, and she's like brother and sister with the other ones, and she's gonna find the same kind of connection with Jinxie. And I just think he's a great addition. Aaron Ashmore, he's a phenomenal actor.
Yes,
he does really well in this. It's only going to get, in my opinion, it only gets better from here. So many of my favorite episodes are from this season. I mean, I have favorite episodes scattered. And I even like some of them in season 4. Beyond that, you're not going to get a good thumbs up from me. After season 4, it's going to go most of the day.
Way to entice people to listen to those episodes.
I know. You need to see what it is. Well,
it'll be for the whippy banter that we'll have on that. So, like, I did think about from the Christmas episodes that we just saw that Claudia made all of those shirts with artifacts on it, so she can make one for Jinx with the picture of the
folio
of the folio. And we do see the return of Pete's bad vibes. Like, he actually says he's getting a bad vibe in this episode.
Right, so before he got
the return of Pete's bad vibes.
If you see where, if you notice where those happen, he's actually looking straight at Sally when he's saying it, right?
Yep.
So it's,
I did,
like,
notice that.
There's the bad vibe. She's right.
I'm getting a bad vibe. Yeah, you're a stud. As Jinx says, I am a stud. She can't get enough of me.
It's amazing how much she wants me.
It's great.
Amazing how much she wants me.
Able just to roll with it, right? He's just like, okay, well, I'm just going to lean into this. Sure, sure. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, Micah comes back. Does that mean I have to leave? I was just getting used to Pete's jokes.
All right, guys, the next episode, we will be covering season 3, episode 2, Trials of Warehouse 13. Now, Shannon, here's your epic question. Do you want to hear the TVGuide.com, Amazon Prime Video, or IMDb description of Trials?
Amazon.
Amazon Prime Video description reads, witnesses to a murder trial are suddenly losing their memory, and fast. Pete and reinstated agent Micah must race against time to solve the case, but the stakes get even higher when Pete becomes the next victim. Ooh. Claudia gets her first assignment to chase down a thief who has stolen an artifact, but if the relic is intended to do good rather than harm, can she forgive? Once again, that's season 3, episode 2, Trials.
Ooh, I think that's the episode. I think. I could be wrong, but probably not. I think that's the episode where while chasing down that thief, I think that's where Mrs. Frederick helps her learn where moments happen, where things become artifacts, where things become imbued, how they happen, and what kind of incidents causes an artifact to become an artifact. So Pete does definitely get affected, and Jinx jumps right into it with Claudia. So I think pretty soon we're going to get a trailer. And I do mean that as a puppy trailer.
I want to say it's next episode, but maybe not.
Yep.
Yep. We'll leave that for when we get there. So do you ladies happen to have noticed any feedback?
Sadly, no.
Womp,
no womp. One wants to send us feedback.
No, apparently not.
But we do appreciate all the retweets on Twitter. Thank you.
Yeah, on the X, on the hanging on the 10
on the
over
X,
there.
On the thing.
You can email us warehouse13fancast@gmail.com. That's warehouse, the numbers 13fancast@gmail.com.
Pretty please.
All right, ladies. You ready to head on out for the day?
Yes.
Okay. So until next time, I'm the janitor, SP.
Sci-fi girl.
Motion 363. Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you next time. Thanks for joining us for an episode of the Artie's Attic Warehouse 13 fan cast. You can find all our episodes at warehouse13fancast.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can hit us up on our email at warehouse13fancast@gmail.com. We are a part of the Lone Wolf Podcast Network. You can hear more of this cast and other shows like it by checking out lonewolfpodcasts.com. The intro music is Sci-Fi Hybrid Intro by SoundMake, and the outro music is Science Fiction by Tunes2Go. Both were purchased on pon5.com.